Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. And we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this lesson in prayer. Lord, we pray that you would lead us and guide us by the presence of your Holy Spirit right now. Fill this place. Fill our hearts and our minds. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church this morning. Minister to us, Lord, as we desire to minister to you. And Lord, we just pray for all of your blessings to be poured out on this fellowship. Lord, be with those in the Philippines, those who are on the ground right now trying to help. We pray that you would provide beyond their wildest dreams. Lord, I pray that you would give above and beyond what they hope for and give them strength, give them wisdom, Lord. And we just pray that you would bless that which we give here. And we thank you for all that you have done and will continue to do. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. We have been going through the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to continue to just kind of point out some of the different things that we've talked about and have seen in this. As I was praying about it, and obviously your little handout, we might say that these are the P's of prayer. Jesus gives us a model for prayer here in Luke chapter 11 and also in the book of Matthew. And firstly, we looked at the person and the position of God. Our prayer should always begin with praise. What an opportunity to come before the Lord. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The understanding that God alone is worthy of all worship and all honor and all glory. Prayer begins with a proper perspective. And remember, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, not teach us what to say. And to a great extent, the church has relegated this great prayer to rote, something that we just say and really kind of flippantly without considering what it is that Jesus is teaching. There's so much more to this prayer and the heart of prayer that Jesus wants his church to know, and that's why we've slowed down and we're breaking this down and taking a look at it. Secondly, we looked at the purpose of God, God's plan and God's program. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is prayer of submission. The church today is losing its way. It has found its identity in its leaders, in its buildings, and in its business. Listen, Christian, the church is precious to Jesus Christ. You are precious to Jesus. It is not an enterprise, and there are too many men and women leading the church today instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to lead. And as I look around at the church today, I can only wonder whose kingdom is being built. The worship of God has become a program, and God's people, the church, have become a paycheck. The kingdom of God, listen, is at hand in the person of Jesus Christ, and it is the Father's will that all of mankind come to a saving knowledge of his Son, Jesus. That is the will of the Father, as we looked at last week. Quite honestly, man's programs just aren't cutting it. And so the prayer is, Lord, your kingdom come, and Lord, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And so the kingdom of God today is present in the church. It's not in the building. It's not in the name of the church. It's not because we're Calvary Chapel of Oakland County or, you know, Troy Christian Chapel or this Assembly of God or that community church. He's present in the church, in the body of believers who are born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And God's kingdom presently, we saw last week, is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. It's established by Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, and it is maintained by the Holy Spirit of God today. And we hope for the future return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for sure. Now today we're going to look at Jesus' model for prayer and the acknowledgement of God's provision. So we've seen God's person and his position. We've seen his purpose. We've taken a look at the plan and of God and his program. And today we're going to look at God's provision. The fourth commandment is a commandment concerning the Sabbath. You shall keep the Sabbath. It was a day of rest. On the seventh day, we're told that God rested. Creation was complete. The first four commands, or the first four commandments, instruct us in our relationship with God. The last six commandments instruct us with our relationship with one another. And so we have this understanding, or this verse. It says in verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. In Exodus, we're told that the children of Israel started complaining. They were often found complaining. And they came to Moses and Aaron, and they basically said, hey, we remember back in Egypt all of the pots full of meat and all of the garlic and all the wonderful stuff we had in Egypt, and you've led us out to the wilderness to die. They started complaining about what they didn't have. They had meat before, they didn't have any meat. And it says that God heard their complaints, went to Moses and Aaron, and started instructing them on what he was going to do and how he was going to provide for the children of Israel. And he said it was going to start with, they're going to get meat tonight. And it said that he would send quail at night. But when they get up in the morning, they're going to find these little flakes, little round wafers, and it talks about like coriander cakes, round pieces, little pieces of bread, and it says that it tasted like honey. It was truly angel food. And that they would have that in the morning, and that the leader of each of the homes would go out and they would gather up this manna, this angel food, and they would gather up an omer for each of those who were in the family. They were not to gather any more. They were not to gather any less. They were only to gather what they needed for that day. And so they would go out and gather what they could out of the ground. And some, though, decided that they would test God. And they tried to save some for the next day. You know, the ones that didn't want to get up in the morning early and gather what God had provided for them. The ones that were going to try and take the easy way out. Maybe, you know, when we all have these tendencies that we don't want to do it exactly as was prescribed, but they tried to keep some. I'll just save some and have it tomorrow. And when they woke up, it said it smelled rotten and it had maggots crawling all over it. And so each day, not just that one day, but each day, they were to gather manna for that day's needs. But on the sixth day was special instruction was given. On the sixth day, God provided double. And they were to collect double for their family, and by the evening were to bake or to boil or prepare the second day's manna for the Sabbath day, the seventh day, for it was on the seventh day that God rested, and God was going to rest on the seventh day because the seventh day was a day of observation, a day of reflection, a day of recognition, a day to acknowledge something. And so God provided perfectly for the children of Israel. 6 days you will gather what I have provided, and the seventh day is set aside for me. A day to acknowledge all that I have done. All that I am. A holy day to look back on the week, this week, to remember my person and my position. And I'm obviously speaking from that perspective of God and why God would do that. To realize God's purpose and plan. Also, it was to be a day when they recognized God's provision. How each day God provided for their physical needs. They were provided for perfectly on a daily basis. So firstly, as we look at this, give us day by day our daily bread, it's certainly addresses our dependence on God for physical needs. God provides physical needs. And it was a day of remembrance, realization, and recognition. It is so important for us to have one of those. A time to reflect on all God has done and is currently doing in our lives. Now let's be honest. Or I'll be honest. When I don't put a time that side, or aside that time, put a time. I'll be honest, I have a hard time speaking English, I guess. But when I don't put aside that time, I can start to take for granted all the things that God has done. We don't take the time to recall God's awesome provision in our lives. And we just start cruising right along. Take a moment this morning and consider all your needs that your Father provides for on a daily basis. That's why we come together, really, is to take time out from our busy schedules to praise Him and acknowledge Him, to hear from Him. But also in that, and as we look at this prayer, as Jesus is saying, take some time to acknowledge how God has provided throughout the week. You see, God took the seventh day. He looked at all He created, and what did it say He did? So this is good. This is good. Right? Now, good, in our terms, is you know, I don't think we have a term for it. God's good is far past anything that we can comprehend. But He looked at His creation. He said, man, this is good. And he rested. And it's a good thing for His church to take a Sunday, a day off from the week, maybe a morning off from the week, and gather together and agree with Him that He's been so good to us. Isn't it a good thing for us to do that? To acknowledge that all He has done is good? Now, many of us have a very broad definition of what we need. And it's a hard thing to sit down and really take a look at, what do I really need? You ever done that? Taking stock in what you need? Have you ever taken stock in what you have in your home? You see, I need food. I need clothes. Be good. I need shelter. I need work in today's society. We need work or an income, right? To be able to, and God provides the things in our lives through those things. I need transportation. It's not like back then that everything was kind of in a smaller society or you hopped on a donkey. Now you need a vehicle of some kind. A famous LA preacher who has televised service told his congregation that the Lord told him his wife needs a Mercedes-Benz. I'm not kidding. Now, I'd like a Mercedes-Benz. I don't need a Mercedes-Benz. It wouldn't be too bad. I don't know how it would look to you if I was driving a Mercedes-Benz. But without getting into a dissertation on needs and wants, the difference between the two, and let's be honest about our needs and wants, God blesses. And He allows us to have things we want as long as they don't become a have-to-have or I just can't live without this. You know those things in our lives that we just absolutely have to have. God allows those things, but most of what we think we need are really wants. And God doesn't, He's not a cosmic bummer trying to keep us from having some, you know, nice things. But let's, you know, be realistic about what we really need. Because you see, what I've realized is most of the things that I want, think that I just can't live without. Once I have them, I realize I really didn't need it. And you know how I know that? I can look out in my garage and all the things that I needed, and I haven't touched for 2, 3, 4 years. Maybe didn't even use when I bought it for what I thought I needed it for. Anybody there? Yeah, okay. We need it. Had to have it. And realize, man, it wasn't something I really needed. In Matthew, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. After Matthew writes about the Lord's Prayer, starting at verse 19, it said, "Do not," and you know, we all know this scripture, "do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Constant struggle. Constant tugging back and forth. Yeah, I'm blessed. I mean, I'm blessed with all the stuff that I have. But you know, when I start getting honest with myself and honest before the Lord, I've made some dumb compulsive purchases and I've got all kinds of stuff I don't need. I wish I could sell it for something, you know, and get something out of most of it. But most of it probably, you know, with garage sale prices, I don't know what I can and probably will at some point. But you know what is our heart and our mind really on? Is it on the things of this earth? Is it on the wants, all the stuff that I want? Or is it really understanding what God wants? You know, and we're going to take a look at it. That's why "thy kingdom come and thy will be done" comes in prayer before the "I need." Because when we keep that perspective, the "I wants" tend to be left out. Does that make sense? Very wise prayer in what Jesus is saying to us. But he said, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye, therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," which in Aramaic is riches, it's money, and the things that money, you know, watch TV, there's shows on about, it's sad what's going on in the church. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Isn't it? Sometimes it doesn't seem that way, you know, but truly it is. "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So why do you worry, or which of you by worrying could add one cubit," that's 18 inches, "to your height? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not dressed or arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" You worrying about things that God has promised to provide and give provision for? "For after all these," "therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Here's the perspective, "but seek first the kingdom of God." And that's really, this is the prayer. I mean, this is the perspective. This is the order which Jesus really gives it to us in what we pray and what should be of importance and an order. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." How many of you like things? Things. Okay, so there's a few honest people here. If you like things, God's got things. And he wants to give you things. Now, it's different things than what, you know, it's not like remote controls, guys, and the bark loungers and the big TVs and, you know, craft stores, ladies. You know, those kinds of things. They're a lot better things, and we'll take a look at that. But he's got things, and he wants to add it unto you. "Therefore, do not worry, about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Matthew's record of the Lord's model for prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. And it's a correct perspective. It isn't in conflict with what Luke said, the prayer said, and that day by day. It's not in conflict. It is a correct perspective. We don't know what tomorrow holds, Christian. And so when we pray from that perspective that to give us this day our daily bread. But Luke's record is equally correct and true. Give us day by day our daily bread, because we know who holds tomorrow, don't we? You will provide for us in every need today. And by your mercy, when tomorrow comes, I acknowledge, Lord, you're going to provide for me tomorrow too. I do not know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. And we pray in that way and with that understanding. So, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. What things? The things that you need. The things that you need. Clothes. Food. Shelter. What do you need? And he'll even allow, and I love God's allowance, he'll even allow other things that are blessings into your life too, above and beyond that, because he's got things. Now, wait a second. Seek first the kingdom of God, it says? Well, yeah. Secondly, we need to understand and recognize that this prayer is speaking of more than our physical needs. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then, give us this day our daily bread. We always get this messed up, don't we? We're always looking for our daily bread. We're looking for what we need. We're looking for me and God take care of this, and I need this, and I need this. And well, pretty soon, we forget all about God's kingdom and God's will for our lives. Man, it's, you know, Lord, are you listening to me? Are you taking care? Are you hearing all my prayers? And we start losing the perspective. We don't have a proper perspective anymore. And so it's, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then give us this day our daily bread. The person who said you can be too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good, he's wrong. The truth is, I can be so earthly minded that I am of no heavenly good. God provides not only our physical needs, Christian, but our spiritual needs also. So which is first? What do we seek first? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, Moses was talking to the children of Israel, and he was telling them about why what happened, why they had to wander the wilderness for 40 years. And he said, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You see, we need spiritual bread daily. It's manna from heaven. We can get it in a number of different ways. I forgot to bring it up. We have our daily bread sitting out there free. We get it every month. You're welcome to take that. You've got the Word of God. You've got online studies. You've got radio with teachers on it. You can get tapes of, you know, and you can get it in a number of different ways, but you need spiritual bread daily. Turn with me to John chapter 6. And we're going to read this whole thing because it comes into light what Jesus is saying here and what we truly need to understand, starting at verse 5, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And they recognized the physical provision that God had just given them by the feeding of the loaves and the fish. And so they were going for that day's provision because they saw where he was going. And he said, this is why you're here, because I've provided those physical needs. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And we talked about last week, first and foremost, what is the will of God? That you know the one whom he sent, that you know his only begotten Son. That is, first and foremost, the will of God, that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And there's a lot said about works today and purpose, and, you know, there's a lot of religions that believe that if you do more good than bad in a day, that, you know, you're on the good checklist for the day. And there's works. We'll do things as we're following and serving him. But here's the work. Jesus answered and said to him, this is the work of God. Not only is it the will of God, it's the work of God that you believe in him whom he sent. The first thing of the will of God is to know his Son Jesus Christ. The first work, before we do anything, is to know the one whom he sent and spend time in his word and spend time getting to know him and eating of spiritual food. You see, he says, therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to him, or to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And he said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. That statement is, there is no other. It goes along with the I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we're going to see a number of I am statements. But I said to you, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He is our example as we seek the will of God, not my will, but your will be done. When we looked at that section of the prayer, that prayer of submission. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the Jews murmured against him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written, the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. And so, give us day by day our daily bread. I need Jesus today. Some of you need that bread of life today. He who believes in me has everlasting life. You need Jesus in your life, first and foremost. It is the will of the Father. It is the first work that needs to be done. And it is the realization of every human being. They need Jesus Christ in their lives, for he is the bread of life and he is the everlasting way. And some of you are sitting here this morning, and the Lord is quickening your heart and knocking on your heart right now, telling you, you need Jesus in your life. Will you accept what he has done for you today? But there's also in this, give us day by day our daily bread, these understandings, John 14, verses 16 and 17, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. John 14, 26 and 27, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then John 15, 26, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And John 16, verses 7 and 8, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I know in my life, physically, I need food, I need shelter, I need clothing, but I need so much more from the Lord. And it begins here with the understanding not only of what Jesus Christ has done, and I'll speak for me, in my life, he's saved me. And I have everlasting life, but now there's a day-by-day need and really a day-by-day yearning, and it's this, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit today. If I prayed about for anything this morning, I didn't pray, well, how do I, let me rephrase that. I'm still struggling with English. I prayed more for the presence and the filling and the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit this morning than I prayed for anything else, because coming up and just getting into God's Word and teaching His Word is an awesome thing, like a fearful awesome thing. And I know that I need His Holy Spirit today. Listen, I'm not that gracious of a person all the time. You know what I'm talking about? Lord, I need your grace today. I need your grace so that I can be gracious to others. I'm merciless at times. I already tell you that one of the gifts of the Spirit, you know, the gifts of the Spirit is helps the gift of mercy. How much the church needs the gift of mercy. And my aunt, they went through and they tried to figure out what their gifts were. Have I shared that with you guys? Maybe some of you haven't heard it. It's pretty good, though. And so they were doing, you know, some have the gift of help, some have the gift of administration. And so she was at a table, and they started revealing what their gifts were. And they started going around. And quickly my aunt noticed that at their table, nobody had the gift of mercy. And so this person walked into the teaching a little bit late and started coming over to her table, and she looked at him and she said, you may not want to sit here because we're all merciless here. And he went to another place. But I need, Lord, your mercy this morning so that I can be merciful to others. Lord, fill me with the love by which you have loved me, unconditional and sacrificial, so that I can truly love others the way that you love me and that you've commanded me to love others. Lord, I need your peace. I need your patience. I need your kindness. Christian, what do you need this morning from him? He has things. He's got the coolest things. Peace, patience. Wait, does anybody know? I never memorized that. Probably because I want to stay away from it because they're all too painful to learn. You know, patience. You pray for patience, God will answer that prayer right away. You know that? Anybody ever done that before? You'll start being tested immediately. Peace, patience, kindness, joy, self-control, all the good stuff. He's got things, and he wants to give them to you. He's got gifts of wisdom and knowledge. He has manifestations of the Spirit that he wants to work in and through the church. There are gifts of healings. He wants to give you wisdom and knowledge beyond your capability. He's got things for you if you realize that you need them and you're willing to ask for them. These are prayers of petition. Lord, you know my needs. You know my physical needs. I'm going to ask anyways because that's what you've instructed me to do. But here's the thing. I know this morning how depleted I am of your spirit, how depleted I am of your grace, how depleted I am of your mercy and your love. I need you to fill me with those things so that I can walk in the life that you've called me to walk. And that I can serve your people in the way that you've asked me to serve your people and to serve others. So that I can love my neighbors. How many of you have those unlovable neighbors? Hard to love. Yeah. So that I can love my brothers, my sisters, my mom, my dad. You know, whatever it might be in your life. Give us day by day our daily bread so we can be what you have asked us to be as a church, not only physically nourished, but spiritually nourished. So important. And what we need to understand is we're quick to realize when we're hungry, right? We're quick to realize when there's a hole in our shoe, or, you know, we need some more underwear, or whatever it might be. Getting a little personal there, I know, but sorry. But not as quick to recognize what we need spiritually. And that's what we need to be coming to. When we come here to recognize we need to be filled. We need His Holy Spirit. We need the gifts that He has and desires. What we're going to see is when we actually get past the prayer part, He starts giving instruction on persistence. We're to ask persistently, as if we can't live without it. And the funny thing is it's all stuff that God wants to give us. He already wants to give it to us. He just wants to see how serious we are about wanting it. Do you want spiritual gifts? Do you want peace and patience and mercy, truly, to be able to love others the way that He's loved you? We're going to see, do you really want to forgive that person that you know God has asked you to forgive? Do you really want it? Because if you do, He'll give it to you. The reason you don't have it or you haven't been able to forgive is because you're just asking because it says to ask. But you're not asking as if you really want it. You're not asking persistently. And you're not asking with the heart that God has asked you to ask with. He'll give it to you. He's got things. Man, God's got things. And if you love things, man, I'm still kind of into things. I'm trying to get out of the things that the world has, you know, those things that are sitting at home that we don't use. But God's got things that we can use and that we can pour out on others. He just desires to see that we really want that. And so when we pray, we start out with praise. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are an awesome God. You're far beyond anything I can comprehend. I can't believe that you even love me. David said, who is man that you would even consider us? Who am I that you loved us so much, you consider it the joy that was before you to go to the cross, Lord? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I know your Son, you know, as my Lord and Savior now. What would you have me to do? Here's my plans. You direct my steps. And today, not only provide for my physical needs, but Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your mercy. Fill me with your grace. Give me patience. Give me everything that I need today to rightly represent you as you send me out in the world. Now my life is yours. That is the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every one here, Lord, that we would have a greater understanding of your heart, a father who desires to hear from his children, not some words that we recite because we've memorized them, but Lord, men and women who understand who you are and how much you love us, what you desire to pour out into our lives, what you have done for us. so vast, so beyond being able to even explain in a lifetime, as much as 45 minutes to an hour on a Sunday morning. Lord, we're here this morning, and we have needs, and we know that you desire to pour those out into our lives. And Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would start meeting those needs this morning physically, that you would meet them spiritually. And if it's jobs, I pray that you would open heaven's gates this week and that you would provide work. Lord, that you would provide food, shelter, continue to clothe and to care for your people. But Lord, I pray even more so that we would be a church that loves, that we would be a church that's gracious and merciful. Lord, patient, tender-hearted, kind, full of joy. Lord, not worrying about tomorrow, but full of the peace that you promise. And we know that that only comes by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that gift, and we receive it again this morning. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit. And if there's anybody here this morning who has not received that gift, the first work, the will of God, to know his Son, Jesus Christ, if you haven't made that decision yet for your life, but you know the Holy Spirit is prompting you this morning and you want to pray to know that you have everlasting life, that you have been believed, truly believed, on the name of the only Son, Jesus Christ, if you want to pray for that this morning, I want to pray with you. Is there anybody here this morning? Lord, I pray that you would pour out your blessings upon your people. You said you would withhold no good thing from us. And Lord, sometimes what we think is good isn't what you think is good. But I pray, Lord, that you would just pour out your blessings upon my brothers and my sisters here. That you would strengthen their walk with you, that you would draw them closer to you. I pray for gifts of healing to pour out right now. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would touch lives, those that have been looking for healing. Maybe, Lord, it's pain that they haven't been able to deal with. I pray that you would touch them in a special way this morning. It's a work only you can do, and I know it's not because of me and it's not because of them, but it's according to your grace and your mercy, and I pray that you would do that. Lord, continue to bless this fellowship and provide for the needs here. And Lord, as we go out, we want to start by praising you. We want to start prayer by praising you, and we want to leave with those praises on our lips. May you be well pleased with the praises of our lips, the meditation of our heart, Lord, in our worship. Our lives are yours. Bless this time and be blessed in this time, we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Would you stand?